tonight at the Democratic National Convention, Joe Biden's running mate Kamala Harris will accept her historic nomination to the ticket. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama will also speak.
And last night we got a look at two competing wings of the party. A long time ago, it's ancient history now, but a Governor Bill Clinton was introduced to the country with a yawn-inducing lengthy convention speech. Last night, former President Bill Clinton was the elder, getting right to the point, comparing Biden's leadership abilities with President Trump's.
If you want a president who defines the job as spending hours a day watching TV and zapping people on social media, he's your man.
And progressive newcomer Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, with her one-minute speech seconding the nomination of former Biden rival Bernie Sanders, laid out her vision for the party and left her supporters demanding more airtime. Asma Khalid is NPR national political correspondent. Asma, were you struck by this old guard, new guard we seem to be seeing last night?
Yeah, though, Robin, I will say, I don't know that it's even just unique to last night. The overall tone that the convention's taken so far has been one, I would argue, that many young Democrats are saying is just too much nostalgia for them. There aren't very many, you know, convention speakers at all who are even under the age of 40. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was one of them, and they certainly wanted her to have more speaking time. But some of them have also expressed frustration that there are just, in their view, too many Republicans or, you know, some former Republicans who are getting airtime at the expense of some of the younger leaders of the party. And that extends even, in their view, to, you know, what we saw when we had a 17-person keynote speech, that you had all of these young rising stars condensed into one keynote speech. And when you have that, how can you really have a breakout moment for a young rising star the way that we did see Barack Obama have in 2004?
Yeah, it was like a chorus line. Well, Ocasio-Cortez spoke of the causes she feels were elevated by the progressive movement in the party. Let's listen.
In fidelity and gratitude to a mass people's movement working to establish 21st century social, economic, and human rights, including guaranteed health care, higher education, living wages, and labor rights for all people in the United States.
Well, so what do you think happens here, Asma? Is this a projection of the power these young progressives might have if Harris and Biden win? Because also the other element here is that Republicans are using AOC as a cudgel against the Democratic Party.
Sure, right. And I recognize that there is a liability in Democrats perhaps thinking that they might be overexposing themselves to the sort of concerns that the Trump administration or that Republicans have around some of the more left progressive wings of their party. But I would say, you know, whether or not it's AOC, there has been a pretty steady chorus among young voters, and I would say this predates even the convention, a frustration that they feel that the Biden campaign has not been reaching out to them so much. I mean, one of the more outspoken people I've seen recently on Twitter, she was actually the millennial youth vote director for the Hillary Clinton campaign. And she feels extremely frustrated that the Biden campaign has not reached out to young, persuadable voters. And they just don't feel like the outreach has been there by the Democratic Party to, you know, elevate and to contact these young voters. So what this will mean in the future, you know, who knows? I also thought it was interesting that one of the young people we did hear from yesterday was JFK's grandson. And for many of these young voters, that's not exactly who they see at this point as kind of the beacon of the future of their party.
Meanwhile, Politico called Jill Biden's address the speech of the night a passionate defense of her husband for rising above the deaths of his first wife and young daughter in that car crash years ago, and then recently after the death of their son, Beau, to brain cancer.
I know that if we entrust this nation to Joe, he will do for your family what he did for ours. Bring us together and make us whole. Carry us forward in our time of need. Keep the promise of America for all of us.
Asma, your sense of how she came across?
You know, Robin, she is really the most effective character witness that Joe Biden has. And I think that that is what we heard from her last night. She didn't spend an extensive amount of time. In fact, I don't believe she at all even mentioned Donald Trump by name. Her focus was to emphasize the qualities and traits that her husband could bring to the presidency. And as we heard there, she suggested that he is a man of good character who she believes would be able to stitch a country back together again.
No. Asma Khalid, we just have a few seconds, but Kamala Harris speaking tonight, I think we can expect her to mention Donald Trump.
I would imagine so. That is often the job of the running mate, is to be that prosecutor, you know, as she has been, and to make the case that the Democrats will be able to defeat Donald Trump and some of his weaknesses that the Democrats have been trying to highlight. So I anticipate you will probably hear quite a bit about him.
Asma Khalid, national political correspondent for NPR. Thank you.
You're welcome.